Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring this podcast. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System, you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. At hundreds of locations across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's unifiedhealing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.
The MMA Gambling Podcast on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network is presented by WynnBET. WynnBET is now live in Arizona, Colorado, Indiana, Louisiana, Michigan, New Jersey, New York, Tennessee, and Virginia. From boosted same-game parlays to live in-game odds on every major sport, WynnBET has what you need to win. Sign up today and bet $100 to get a $100 free bet at sportsgamblingpodcast.com/WynnBET. That's sportsgamblingpodcast.com/WYNNBET.
Hello, DeGenerinos, and welcome to another episode of the MMA Gambling Podcast and the Sports Gambling Podcast Network. Episode 237. Let's send this out to Gilmo T on Twitter, who found the fastest way to our heart on this podcast, and that is to compliment us. And he or she, I'm guessing he, since only dudes, I think, listen to us other than family members, complimented the show. So that is the quickest way, like I said, to our hearts and into getting an episode dedicated to you. So I just put that out there for anyone else who is interested in me having an episode be dedicated to them. We're very vain around these parts of the MMA Gambling Podcast. So everyone else, thanks for coming to the show. Anyhow, even if you haven't complimented us recently, I am one of your hosts, Jeff Chalks Fox. And the big news on this episode is that I'm back, baby. as the expression goes, nature is healing. Order has been restored. I am now smarter than my co-host, Daniel Gumby Vrila, once again. So, we'll get cracking into that right now. Let me introduce him first. He obviously thinks I'm not smart because he's trying to make me believe that he ran into traffic in rural wherever he lives in the middle of the night on a Sunday. He's trying to make me think he got stuck in traffic, but I'm sure he was doing something else. But anyhow, let's bring him in now and see how he pleads. It's Daniel Gumby Vreeland. Hello.
I first of all, was in traffic. That is that's no lie. I had to go out towards the Boston area for a get-together. But also, while I was going to tell you already to dedicate the episode to the exact same person you already
Gilmo
did.
Gilmo T, yes.
Yeah, Gilmo T. I'm also going to shout out Dredney, who hit a massive, who by the way is already one of the usuals in our Discord. By the way, follow us, join the Discord at sportsgamblingpodcast.com/Discord. He hit a massive plus 500 prop bet that we'll talk a little bit later on in the show about. But I want to give him a shout out for hitting something that big. It's not often we have people hitting stuff that big.
Yep, definitely. Definitely. So we're not going to talk about Boston traffic instead.
But I mean, you can talk about Boston traffic. Boston traffic
is it as bad as people claim? Because when I was in Boston, it was a long time ago, but I didn't have any trouble getting around, driving around. But I was warned before how horrible traffic is in Boston.
So it depends on what you're talking about for Boston traffic. So first of all, it wasn't actually in Boston, was in like a bullshit suburb. But everybody just says Boston as if it's like the same exact Boston. So I was in a suburb of Boston. And I was taking one of the like 99 different interstates you could take out of the Boston suburb areas. And like the Boston loves to just shut down like three of the four lanes to one of their highways. And then so there's one lane leaving, you know, whatever suburb you're leaving, Newton or Cambridge or whatever it is. And the one today that I was leaving had two out of the three lanes closed. And I was like, sweet, this will be really easy to get out of. And it was not. And that's why we're recording this late at night. And if you're listening to this, you also are getting it far later than you're used to.
That's why you use Waze, Dan. Do you not use Waze, the app?
I don't know if that works out these ways.
It worked out, works out
for me. Pun intended. Yeah, like it probably works in the Boston area, but isn't Waze the one that like you need to participate in order to make it as good as possible? And let me tell you something.
Kind of, yeah.
Where I live, there isn't anybody who uses any apps because there isn't any service to get any internet.
Well, there's like, no traffic though either, so it all works out fine.
Right, exactly. So I'm not usually driving in a place that has traffic, so no, I don't use Waze. I think I actually used it when I went to your neck of the woods, the one time I went to Toronto.
Yeah. Yeah, you would it definitely comes in handy when I do go to Toronto. All right, enough traffic talk, I guess. We'll talk about it. Yeah, well, why am I wasting time? I want to talk about this event last night. It was UFC Fight Night. Hod Higaz versus Lemos went down the UFC Apex. It was a finish-filled fight night. That's a lot of Fs, but we had, what, eight, I believe? Eight out of 10?
There are two decisions, yep.
Yes, eight out of 10. We ended up with 10 fights because we lost Josh Parisian and Chase Sherman, the fight we were most looking forward to because Parisian was having a cardiac issue, apparently. So hopefully he is okay. They've already rebooked the fight in 2 weeks, so I guess they're assuming that he's not going to die before that.
At least that's the word on the street. I've heard the word on the street that it's booked for Lewis versus Spivak, but I don't have like a real confirmation on that yet. So I'm gonna hold off my hopes on the fact that that's definitely happening.
What a chunky guy card that's gonna be if they add that one to it too. Wow, that's gonna be fantastic. Speaking of chunky, we have what, four fighters miss weight, which was pretty wild. Grant Dawson missed weight. Benito Lopez missed weight, Carlos Candelaria missed weight, Ramona Pascual missed weight, and Shanna Young almost missed weight, but then she cut off some of her dreads. Apparently she had some, or braids, dreadlocks braids, and apparently that was enough to get her under the weight. So, like I said in the Discord, it probably was, what, $4,000 or $5,000 she saved herself, so I guess it was worthwhile chopping off your hair for that, because she would have been fined probably about $2,800, $3,000 bucks probably around there. So
yeah, they usually it's 20%, right?
Yeah, usually. And I think she made about 14. So
she did lose. It is, but it was her fourth fight with a win in there. Yeah, she probably saved herself a couple thousand at least.
Yep. So yeah, wild night on the scales and pretty wild in the cages. We have finishes, like I said, nonstop. All right, we're gonna jump into it. I can say, because it's late for us old guys to be up still. First, I want to talk about WynnBET. Ready to win money and boost your odds. WynnBET is now live in Arizona, Colorado, Indiana, Louisiana, Michigan, New Jersey, New York, Tennessee, and Virginia. Bringing the excitement of Wynn Las Vegas to online sports betting and casino play. Exclusive rewards are right at your fingertips with Wynn Rewards on WynnBET. Be on the lookout for the WynnBET Wynn Hour each Thursday from 5 to 6 p.m. Eastern time. During WynnBET Wynn Hour, marquee games of the week will have better odds on WynnBET, giving you a larger payout opportunity. Great promos, odds, and payouts are happening right now at WynnBET. From boosted same game parlays to live in-game odds on every major sport, WynnBET has what you need to win. Ready to play? Sign up today to receive a special offer. Bet $100, win $100. So much to choose from, and all you have to do is head over to sportsgamblingpodcast.com/WynnBET so they know we sent you. That's sportsgamblingpodcast.com/WYNNBET to claim your free bet today. Offer subject to change. Terms and conditions at WynnBET.com. Must be 21 or older and present in the state where playthrough WynnBET is available. View or someone you know has a gambling problem. Call 1-800-522-4700. Now, I'm joking around about beating Dan, but it seems like at least, assuming you're not a big fat liar in the Discord, it seems like in the real world, it was a good night for you making picks and betting.
Yeah, if you didn't go bet $100 on the money line of every single fight, which, as we've pointed out, is maybe the one of the more insane things to do. Yeah, there was a lot of moments to make money this past weekend. I was a little bit bummed out. And we'll get to the very first fight last, I guess. Yes. But Tamir's Vidal hitting that flying knee to the body, and it looked like, I have to say, I don't mean to jump to this fight first, but I have to say,
it was a premier fight of the night. So go ahead.
And she won a bonus, right? And she hits this flying knee to the solar plexus. Ramona Pascual drops to her knees in pain, and I was like, oh shit, she's gonna jump on the guillotine. Like, that's all I could think was, like, her head was like out like propped up for a guillotine. I was like, she's gonna jump on the guillotine. It's 5-1. You know, it's plus 500 for Vidal to hit a submission. And then in very weird fashion, and maybe this is the theme of the night, is that like Chris Tyone stopped in and stopped this fight. I'm not gonna say early. Ramona Pascual was out, but like, remember, Chris Tyone is the guy who let the Dwight Grant versus D-Rod fight keep going. And it wound up winning D-Rod a fight, and he was like out on his feet. And he also let another one, which I can't remember off the top of my head, go that same night. Chris Tyone is a guy who's notoriously known for letting fights go, and he called this one the minute Pascual looked like she was a little bit hurt. And I'm going to ask you this as we get ready to talk about the main event. I'm not usually one of the ones who buys into like the letting women or refs call women's fights earlier, you know, like, what do you call it? Conspiracy theory or whatever you want to call it. But it seemed like that was the case. Am I wrong?
It's hard to say. I wonder if we can track that on it. I don't know how, because it's kind of subjective whether it was early or not, but may as well go to the main event. You know, I think I've made clear my thoughts on early stoppages. There's really no such thing as early stoppage because, well, there is. Some, obviously, there's going to be egregious early stoppages. I don't think there was any last night. Marina Rodriguez thinks she could have kept fighting, but that's basically, I think what a lot of people forget is when the ref stops the fight, both fighters stop fighting. Like, it's not like if the ref let the fight keep going, Lemos would stop punching and kicking and elbowing Rodriguez and let her catch her breath. Like, she would just land some more deadly shots to her. So Rodriguez was getting rocked, so I didn't really mind that stoppage. We both had her to win, wanting her to win, so it would have been nice if she hung in there, but I don't think that was an early stoppage. It was round three, 54 seconds into it. It seems to be overshadowing Lemos. I had written her off and as a top contender, and perhaps prematurely I did that.
Yeah, she might be the next number one contender, right? Like, yeah. she might be next. But I'll also say this. I do think it was a smidge early. Like, I you know, you might be of the belief that there's no such thing as an early stoppage, but like, Marina Rodriguez,
who
was, I mean, she was woozy.
Who?
Marina Rodriguez.
Oh, okay. Yes. I thought there was someone else fighting. I missed in the cage. Go ahead.
Yeah, my bad. Marina Rodriguez was definitely woozy, right? Like, she was on skates. But then, like, after she was on skates, she was, I didn't think she was as wobbly when he called it. And yeah, of course, you're right. She snaps right back to it the minute he calls it, and nobody's punching her in the face.
Yeah.
That's the thing
people seem to overlook always.
Yeah. And was there a chance that like she ate two more and it was over? Absolutely. But like, if you look at, man, if you look at some of these fights that got called earlier on the fight card, like if you look at the Shayolan Nurdambeek Derek Minner fight, that dude is laying on the ground, gripping his knee, desperately hoping for that fight to end. And what we're talking, what we might be winding up talking about being a fixed fight, or at least a fight with a foregone conclusion. And the ref let him keep taking punches. Do you know what I mean? Like, that he kept eating them, and like, he very clearly was done. Like, he was done before he fell down. He was done.
All part of the plan.
And Marina Rodriguez wasn't, you know what I mean? I'm not saying it's an early stoppage. I'm just saying she wasn't afforded the same opportunity as her male counterparts might have.
She was eating. She ate so many punches though, so she has no one to blame but herself.
Can I also add just one thing? I don't want to cast shade on Amanda Lemos, but I had a whole bunch of people that I saw tweet out, people who I follow, people who I respect, who said, "My goodness, where does Amanda Lemos get this power?" Or, "Oh my god, Amanda Lemos hits so hard. Where does she find such strength?" And I just want to quickly remind people that she did a 2-year suspension for Stanzanol, which is a anabolic steroid agent, in 2017. So if you're asking, if you at any point in time at this night asked yourself, where does she find that power? just like maybe remember that she tested positive for steroids once. In the UFC, by the way, after losing her debut, tested positive, did a 2-year suspension, dropped 2 weight classes, and since then has been on a nice little run.
Yep. Well, there you go. We'll leave it on Dan casting shade on her, of course. So, so we missed that one. I missed the next one as well. Gumby hit Neil Magny over Daniel Rodriguez. Submission, Darce choke. Pretty wild fight. It was round 3:33 on the clock. So a bunch of threes there. Neil Magny, criminally overlooked and underrated. This was basically a pick-em on the board. Dan had it at -115. Rodriguez had his moments. He was definitely the more powerful striker of the two men, but Magny finds a way to win these fights, it seems, always, and he did last night once again.
Yeah, in the last 4 years, he's lost to Chiesa and Shavkat Rakhmonov. And yep. That's it, dude. That's yep. it.
You gotta
be he hasn't lost to anybody else other than those two.
Yep.
And that's crazy. And yeah, he looked great. I don't wanna disparage Daniel
Rodriguez. Boy, you are really. You're going in on another one now. Go ahead.
Well, I don't want to disparage Daniel Rodriguez, but he didn't look like he was in the same world as Neil Magny, right? Am I wrong? Did he look like he belonged in the cage with Neil Magny at all?
He looked all right. Like, Neil Magny's a hard guy to fight. He's just weird and long, but no, he was a land power strike. That was the best guy he's ever fought, probably, right? Well, unless his last fight, unless you want to count that last minute one against Li Jin Liang, but probably Magny's the toughest guy he's ever fought, and definitely the weirdest guy he's ever fought.
I actually Neil Magny's way better than Li Jin Liang.
Okay, there you go.
In fact, hasn't he beaten him? Put the intern. Maybe. No, yeah. Intern's on it. He beat Li Jingliang.
There you go. See, he's underrated.
UFC 248. That's the thing about him, right? Like, we forget. He's 30-27 Li Jingliang, which is crazy. Neil Magny continues to impress. He's, like, the best gatekeeper. Not, like, a gatekeeper to the title, but definitely a gatekeeper to the top 10.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, he's always hovering around those parts. All right, next fight. This was the one that when we recorded the show on Wednesday or Thursday, it was +175 Derek Minner. We were both in on him. And then mysteriously the line all of a sudden shot up into the 300, plus 300s or so for Minner. And people were saying that something fishy was going on, and it seemed like it may have been. Shailin Nurudambiki, TKO elbows, 107 in the first round. That wasn't the full story. Minner threw a kick, stepped back like he hurt his knee, yet threw the exact same kick immediately following that, and then crumbled to the mat and looked like he was going to tap to strikes. It did nothing. He just turtled and waited for the ref to stop the fight. So interesting. I guess the main theory people are saying is Minner was entering the fight injured, obviously injured leg, it seemed, and people in his camp or people in the know did some insider trading and shot that line up for Nurudambiki and made themselves some money. Don't want to claim that Minner threw the fight or anything like that, but it seems like someone in the know knew something before that fight.
Yeah, I think you got the perfect spin on this here, because like I hear a lot of people saying there was a fix on this fight, or Minner might have gotten a cut of it, or look, Minner's not going into this fight knowing what's at stake in his career and what's at stake in everything, in like throwing a fight on purpose. But I will say this, I think you're right that people knew he was hurt. People knew he had a busted knee. He knew he had a busted knee, but he was going to just try to fight through it and thought he could fight through it and thought he could be good enough to fight through it. He's not the first fighter ever to like be injured, go into a fight and think he could win. TJ Dillashaw did it a week ago,
yep,
right?
Just happened.
Right. It literally just happened. And if TJ Dillashaw's knowledge got out in the line bounced around, we'd be having the same conversation last week, but instead we're having it on a fight that matters 1/8 as much as the Aljamain Sterling versus TJ Dillashaw fight happens. So yeah, I think people knew this already. It certainly looks bad that this happened right around the time where the UFC dropped their fighters/coaches can't bet on fights policy. Yep. And it certainly looks particularly bad being that policy seemingly came about because Derek Minner's actual coach seemed to be doing some shady stuff surrounding gambling.
Yep.
Yeah,
like, out in the open. Shady was out in the open.
I mean, he was doing some stuff out in the open. He was doing some stuff behind closed doors that was also seemingly even more shady than the stuff he was doing out in the open. So many questions. I don't want to speculate and say that I know for sure, but like, somebody knew he was hurt going into that fight. That's all I'm going to say.
And no joke, I just got a notification, ESPN story, that the fight's being investigated after suspicious.
It should fucking be gambling. Investigated. Yeah, of course it should.
Integrity Firm is investigating right now. I forgot about the whole James Krause was involved coaching that.
Yeah,
one too,
but... James Krause is the one. Look, I love James Krause. I've interviewed James Krause before. Yes. He's a nice guy, a great coach. But like, he literally was just on gambling shows and talking about gambling and trying to run some sort of gambling situation. And like, people were all in on his talking about gambling. And now one of his, and this is why the UFC put that policy in place, right? Because one of his fighters now is in the middle of something that seems suspicious around gambling, and there's question around it. And that's why you can't have this shit happening.
Yep. So Minner definitely is going to get cut now. That's three straight losses plus. So that's their excuse. Plus, with this hanging over their heads, the UFC does not want any part of that. So I'm sure Minner is – that's why saying Minner might have thrown the fight was kind of silly, because he probably knew that he was on the verge of getting cut as it was. So anywho, get off that ugliness that we both lost. Now, we're done. My losses, that's it. My losses are done for the night, Dan. I thought
you were gonna go clean, by the way, when you went 8-0.
I thought so too. I went 8-0 and like, oh boy, here we go. And then I lost the inner one, and then I thought, okay, maybe I'll lose the next fight and I'll win the main event, but no, the wheels fell off. But I'll take an 8-3 anytime. Tagir Ulyanbekov made quick work of a very gaunt Nate Maness. Perhaps Dan wouldn't have picked Nate Maness knowing what he looks like at flyweight. To be fair, he did mention that was one of his concerns. Dan mentioned that was one of the concerns heading into this fight. We've never seen Maness at 125, and boy, he looks terrible.
He looks terrible. And not just physically either, but like in the cage, he doesn't look like the Nate Maness. And don't get me wrong, I think I said this in ahead of time. I'm not sure I've ever picked against Nate Maness. I'm pretty sure I've picked him five straight times, and he paid off big in that Tony Gravely fight, which I cashed on, and he just doesn't look the same at 25. And this really feels like a guy who got bodied at 35, which he did by Muharrem Ergamedov. Didn't like it, and rather than being like, maybe it's time for me to bulk up, or maybe it's time for me to work on my wrestling defense because I've always been a good offensive wrestler, but maybe never a good defensive wrestler. Instead of like working on his problems, he's like, what if I was smaller? That's not a fucking answer.
In the process, I'll be bigger.
Yeah, and it's just not an answer. And it could not be more clear that it was not an answer at the end of this. I hope the next time I see him, it's at 35.
They always, every fighter thinks it's the answer. It's the cure-all. Changing weight class, up or down, either or. It'll save their career or whatever. He's created a need save, so it was strange. But I'll take Ulyanbekov win, 2-11 in the first round. Then starting off the card, Grant Dawson, the lone fighter who missed weight, who actually won his fight, thank God, because I had him. And Dan had Mark Madison. Dawson, I said, you questioned whether or not he would be able to out-wrestle Mark Madsen, and boy, did he ever out-grapple and wrestle him. Submission, rear naked choke, 205 in the third round. Dawson, man, looking like a legit fighter at, that was a catchweight, but at
55. Lightweight. Yeah, yes. I actually put him in my rankings after this fight at 55, by the way.
Yeah, I can see that.
I submitted my rankings this morning, I put him at 15, and I was like, I mean, he's looked good, and he looks so good in this fight. Also,
how he won, too.
Yeah, I mean, like, he out-wrestled an Olympic wrestler. And I'll say this, too. Like, you mentioned he's the only guy who missed weight who won. It's funny, right? Our stats are, like, what, 30% of the guys who miss weight win?
Yeah, and that's what happened.
And it was, it was 25%.
Yeah,
so like,
that's right around where it is, though. Yeah,
right around that number, which is just crazy. But that being said, yeah, Grant Dawson looks so good wrestling. He, like, big brothered him. which I feel like I didn't expect at all.
No, I didn't even expect that.
Yeah, no, and especially because, like we said before, he had that, like, weird time with Ricky Glenn, but, like, maybe we need to write that off as, like, a weird trip to 55 after being at 45 for so long, because now he's done that to Mark Madsen and Jared Gordon. He's got back-to-back submissions over those two dudes.
Yep.
Man, he should get a step up. I'm excited to see who he gets next. Well,
he kind of did. He had he fought an undefeated Olympic silver medalist. So,
yeah, I guess But so I mean a step up to the Brad Riddell range or the Jalen Turner range. Like, he needs to fight somebody like that.
Yeah, he's a fight, probably another win away from headlining Fight Nights, that range of fighter at this point. So, so I went 2-3 on the main card. Dan went 1-4. Yikes. All right, we'll zip through the prelims after I tell you about the SGPN merch store. Part of this ad, Dan likes merch store, but he's not going to like what I have to say in this ad.
Oh, no.
Yeah, get ready. Get your holiday shopping done early at the SGPN merch store. SGPN gear is the perfect stocking stuffer for the gen in your life. Santa handles that in my household, but I guess they're just saying stocking stuffer as a term. But Santa takes care of our stockings, everybody. Stocking stuffer for the gen in your life. Obviously, the gear that we're most into in this story is the MMA Gambling Podcast gear. Gumby more specifically likes the shirt that's dedicated to him, the Gumby God shirt. So definitely go in there and check that out. Plus, from now until Thanksgiving, which is weird because Thanksgiving was last month. I don't know why it says there's Thanksgiving, but apparently there's some kind of Thanksgiving coming up. Which, it'd be so dumb to have Thanksgiving a month before Christmas. That would be the dumbest thing ever. But anyhow, plus from now until some kind of Thanksgiving, you can get 10% off when you use the promo code. You ready, Dan? Promo code is Dallas Sucks. I'm not joking. DALLASUCKS.
Is this the part I'm not supposed to like?
Yeah, plug your ears. So go to store.sportsgamblingpodcast.com. Promo code. You want to spell it? You want to do it, Dan, or should I do it?
You go ahead and take care of it.
DALLASUCKS. There you go.
I'm gonna pretend that's for the Dallas Stars.
Okay. What's the Cowboys record? I don't pay.
6-2, baby.
Better than the Giants?
Tied with the Giants.
But not better than the Eagles. Which is the Eagles other Boston's favorite team.
Eagles are undefeated. Eagles are 8-0, but let's Eagles face the backup quarterback in the Cowboys, so we're not going to talk about that.
Well, yeah, the Cowboys. Is that Dax guy back yet?
Yeah, he's back and Dax, he's winning. Okay. He's won two in a row, but like we played with a backup quarterback for like 4 weeks, and you're
6-2. You can't complain about that.
6-2, you can't complain about that. No, absolutely not.
All right, to the prelims.
It's like if your precious sons played without Chris Paul for most of the season, or Devin Booker.
Devin Booker, yeah, that's more like it. Miranda Maverick played around with Shanna Young, speaking of playing. This is what we were hoping for, and it happened. 30-26 across the board, dominated her. I was saying she would be able to out-physical her. I know that's not a proper term, but that's what I was counting on. Yeah, I think you were a little more skeptical on that part of it, but that's actually what happened. Minus 655, and she looked every bit of a minus 655 fighter in there.
Yeah, she did, but I think I even mentioned in some of the people in the Discord were on the opposite side as me, but I think I mentioned to people before that I didn't think it was like a good play to think of her by finish, and it wasn't, because Shannon Young is so tough. And while she was like able to body her and able to like take her out of her element, like she wasn't able to do so in a way that made Shanna Young like in danger all the time. Like she was just like in a dominant position, but not in danger.
Yeah. She was on Maverick's behalf. She was looking for finishes right up to the ending bell. So she seemed to really want to get it finished. She did not. Benito Lopez made his return and came in overweight, 138.5 for 136 max fight. And Mara Bautista took care of him in less than 6 seconds remaining in the first round with a reverse triangle armbar, just like we predicted it. We said Bautista will win with a reverse triangle armbar.
This is the one that, by the way, Dredney had the Bautista submission plus 500. Huge win for him. Shout out to Dredney. That being said, I think I said this prior, like, Lopez had trouble with his grappling before he had a 3-year layoff.
Yep.
And then you gave him a 3-year layoff and then gave him Mario Bautista. This was a dumb matchmaking. And like Lopez seemingly was like a guy the UFC seemed to like. before this really long layoff. Yeah. I don't know if they were just like feeding him to the wolves because they're like, screw this guy for taking all this time off. But man, yeah. Batista looked 80 times faster than him on the feet. And when it got on the ground, it was even worse.
Yep. This next fight was bad for Dan's pick. Jin Yu Fry, nasty knockout by the hands of Pollyanna Vienna. Wasn't expecting a knockout, but I'll take it. Have Vienna to win this one. Yeah, she got her money's worth with those punches. This fight was not stopped too early, 47 seconds into the first.
No, this is way too late.
This was a Herb Dean special. Like, oh, it looks like she's still alive. We'll let her eat a few more shots.
What was he? I don't know if he was just slow, but whatever he was doing was not good.
He was Herb Dean in it.
Yeah, I don't think a lot of people predicted Pollyanna Vienna by KO. If you did, it was plus 1,100, I think I saw, was the number on that.
Which means a lot of people were not predicting Vienna Vianaka, like you said.
Yeah. So, like, you know, impressive, especially not the way I expected her to win. Like I said, she's got a good arm bar. I thought if Jin Yu Frey shoot a stupid takedown, she might wind up in an arm bar. But otherwise, I thought Pollyanna Vienna was going to wind up in the clinch and eating a whole bunch of knees. And instead, she put together one of the cleanest combos I've seen in a while.
13 wins for her, 13 finishes. So she remains a finisher. That's why I had her in my DraftKings lineup that I recommended to everyone. Bantamweights, Johnny Munoz Jr. We both were in on him. Yeah, took care of Ludovic Shaolinian as expected. 30-27, 30-27, 29-28. I don't know if there was really much to talk about on that fight, but it happened and we had it.
It happened. Seemed easy.
Yep. Jake Hadley looked the way we were hoping he was going to look in his debut. Carlos Candelaria came in overweight and then got beat by Jake Hadley. Submission triangle choke, 239 into the second round. This is what we were looking for from this guy.
Yeah, I will say I saw some people not so pumped about him because he got taken down. But man, that transition to triangle was really smooth. It was nice.
Think twice about taking him down again if that's what he's got on the ground.
For sure, for sure. And I'll also ask you this question because you're the champion of firing people. So you already fired.
We're firing. Minner's getting fired.
You fired Minner. Are you firing Shannon Young?
Possibly, yeah. Yeah, she's definitely on the brink. Maybe Benito Lopez, because it seems like they have issues with him. Like you said, Shaolinian probably.
Shaolinian's 0-2 after losing.
Candelaria, he missed weight and he got beat. So yeah, he's probably down too.
And he lost on Contenders. Remember, he got a contract by
three fight losing streak now.
Yeah, not good. So and one of them was before he got to the UFC. So
this cut Lopez too, because he missed weight really bad too. So and Ramona Pascual, she's getting cut too. That was the fight.
She's 1,000% getting cut.
She's horrible and she missed weight also. So there you go. We hit that one as well. Bonus of the night, Neil Magny, Mario Bautista, Pollyanna Vienna, Tamiris Vidal. Nice to see a newcomer get an extra 50K when they barely make any money. No fight of the night. It was just performance of the nights. As mentioned, I went 8-3. Only made $57, though. I was almost out of my hole on the year that I've dug myself for the past few weeks. I almost had broken even, but then the last three fights happened. So I'm down $300 still on the year. 65% hit rate. Gumby went 6-5, lost $216, down almost 3,000, 2,900 now. He's 59% hit rate. He's going to tell you there's still time. I don't know.
I actually don't know if there's time anymore.
And recommended plays, Dan got too fancy and it bit him. Well, Marina Rodriguez is the one that hurt both of us. He had most of his when he was on Rodriguez. That didn't come through. In real life, though, he had the Hadley Munoz parlay, and that came through at plus 106. So I don't know what you got in real life, but when we did it, it was plus 106.
110.
There you go. Even better. And then you had Minner via sub, Vidal via sub. So he was 1-3, lost almost $60. He's down almost 210 on the year now. Recommended plays, 47% hit rate. He still doesn't understand how recommended plays work. I went
210, there's time for that.
All right.
I'm going to say there's time for that.
You have to start making smart plays then, okay? Even though Rodriguez should have been a smart play.
This week coming up, I got a whole bunch of smart plays.
Oh, boy. Half of my money was on Rodriguez, so I ended up losing money. I went 2-1. I had Hadley and Badal, but Rodriguez hit me, so I lost $25 despite going 2-1. So I'm at 62%. I'm up $50. So there you go.
I can not only get to even, I can catch you.
Okay.
$160 down?
I'm up 50 and you're down 210. So it's 260.
Oh, 210.
Yes.
I thought you said 110.
No, that changes everything, doesn't it?
I still got that.
And it's starting this week with our transition. You see 281. Madison Square Gardens, are you going? Weren't you talking about going at one point?
I was. Do you know what it costs to sit on the back wall?
Oh, yeah. I think we talked about this. Maybe not on air. Tell everyone how much it costs.
It's worse now. Resale value for tickets on the back wall of Madison Square Garden, which, by the way, have you ever been to Madison Square Garden?
No, sadly, I have not yet. No.
I've been. It's one of the worst arenas to sit on the back wall. I've been to, like, I've been to a bunch of arenas, but, like, I've been to the TD Garden a whole bunch of times in Boston. You can sit on the back wall of there and watch a hockey game, and it's, like, a great spot to watch a game. Like, it's up there. But, like, because of the way the stadium's built, everything is basically on top of the ice or on top of the cage or whatever. The back wall is a great spot to sit in the TD Garden. The back wall in Madison Square Garden, you might as well be in a different, like, zip code, because it's not even worth watching. And it's $750 for one seat on the back wall in Madison Square Garden on resale value. So, I'm going to be watching this from the comfort of my home this upcoming weekend.
Fantastic. I've been distracted. Someone just joined our Discord, and his profile picture, I'm guessing it's a he, because it's a sausage party in there. His picture is Yanni, the Greek.
Is it Yanni?
Oh, I think I know who this person is. Yes, his picture is Yanni. So yes.
Is it Yanni though?
No, I don't think so. I think I was talking to this person via email, because he was, I was talking about my MMA site, moneymma.substack.com, and I told him, he said he was a fan of our show, which is maybe why next episode is going to go out to him. And like I said, you compliment me. No, I don't think it is Yanni, because he won money last weekend, so I'm pretty sure it wasn't Yanni. Anyhow, I got distracted when I saw that smiley face. Oh, you can't see his teeth in the picture, though. He's going to have to get a better picture.
How do you know it's Yanni?
Yeah, it's true. So UFC 281, how much did you say back row were? I got so distracted.
$750 American dollars.
But it's the two most exciting champions in UFC history are fighting, so that's probably why. Israel Adesanya and Carlos Esparza.
I mean, you can knock those two. I love watching Izzy fight.
All right, well, you're going to watch him fight Alex Pereira. But I say
and I would pay money to watch Weili Zhang beat the hell out of Carlos Esparza.
Probably what's going to happen. Did you hear that Pereira knocked out Adesanya before and beat him another time?
I did hear that. One person told me that.
It happened. So that's the top two fights. Middleweight championship, Adesanya Pereira. Women's strawweight championship, Esparza Zhang. Then we got lightweights, Dustin Poirier versus Michael Chandler. That would be a headlining fight on some pay-per-views. That's a big fight. We got Frankie Edgar coming back to get knocked out by Chris Gutierrez. There's my early lean. Then Dan Hooker versus Claudio Puelles is the curtain jerker on the main card. Prelims, Brad Riddell, Renato Moicano, Dominic Reyes, Ryan Spann. I want to say H's for everything now. Molly McCann, Aaron Blanchfield, Andre Petrosky, Wellington Turman. Early prelims, Matt Pervola, Otman Azatar, Carolyn Kowalkiewicz versus Savannah Gomez Juarez, Michael Trezano, Sungwoo Choi, Julio Arce, Montel Jackson, Carlos Olberg, Nikolai Nogumaranu. What a fight card.
Yeah, it's great. And also, it's got the fight that we all really wanted to see rebooked. Do you know the one I'm talking about?
What was rebooked? No, what?
This is the duffel bag fight. Did you know?
Oh, the Otman Azatar Matt Frivola fight.
He was supposed to have fought. They were supposed to have fought on Fight Island when the duffel bag situation happened. Got canceled. Frivola fought Armand Sakurian instead. And obviously they had originally fired Otman Azatar. And then, you know, the rehiring and all that nonsense. And here we are.
Here we are. So, yeah, it should be an exciting card. And we will give you all the breakdowns and picks for it coming up on Wednesday and Thursday's episode. But before then, we have another episode tomorrow for your ear holes. Gumby's going to give you more winning picks for regional fights. We got CFFC, we got Cage Warrior, so that will get in your ears tomorrow at a better time than today's got in your ears. And yeah, it just seems later because we got that clocks going back thingamajig that we did. So anyhow, thank you for listening.
Does Canada do
say of course we do. I think part of Canada may not actually. I shouldn't say of course we do. I think someone might
for a while. I think Arizona didn't do it.
They don't do anything.
That's fair.
Did they think it had something to do with Martin Luther King? Is that why they said no way we're not doing that?
I think they just it's because they house Henry Cejudo that they don't do anything.
Yeah, there's a bunch of galaxy brains in that and Sean O'Malley. So there you go. It all adds up, right?
That's it.
Anyhow, thanks for coming to the podcast. Thanks for letting us into your ear holes. Like I said, we'll be back on tomorrow. We told you about the Discord, Twitter. If you want to send us complimentary tweets, SGPN MMA, Gumby runs that. But if it's complimentary, I see it as well. Only compliments, though. My account, Jeff Fox Writer. His account, Gumby Vreeland. I told you, moneymma.substack.com is my newsletter / website that covers MMA and runs a weekly pick 'em contest. So get in there. We got a big UFC pay-per-view coming up. So bigger prizes, bigger contests. So get in that. Then Gumby's got the Top Turtle MMA podcast, which we'll be dropping later on the week, which we'll plug then. And read all the stuff, obviously, sportsgamblingpodcast.com. That's it. That's all I got for you. Once again, until we meet again, I will remain the Shanimal Jeff Fox. Gumby will remain not just Gumby, but also Kid Kivembo, Gumby Vreeland. And we will talk to you on Monday. Bye.